If you're looking for the skills and tools to succeed in real estate investing, you've come to the right place. This show is about breaking through barriers, breaking through limiting beliefs, and breaking through to the life that you want to live through the power of real estate investing. You're listening to the Breakthrough Real Estate Investing Podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Brake and Quentin D'Souza.
Welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining us again for another episode of Breakthrough Real Estate Investing Podcast. Again, Quentin D'Souza is here with me. I'm very excited to see you again, Quentin.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. It's been a little while. I've been away for about a month.
you've been going away quite a bit lately.
Yeah. I was in Mexico and Florida in February. We shot some great video for different projects for investment in Mexico in Playa del Carmen, which was fun for a few days. Then we went to Florida and visited some friends in Florida. Went to Chicago, had some amazing pizza in Chicago at Giordano's. It was like a whole meal in a slice of pizza. It was like super thick. It was so tasty, but it was filling. Got to see lots of sights. It was Chicago was great. And then I did a trip to Nepal in May, climbing Everest base camp with my oldest son.
Amazing.
He turned 20, and we did it together. It was 3 weeks together climbing. So that was really good.
I saw some of your posts, and man, the views that you got to take in. And I know the difference, because, well, I'm sure everybody does, when you're there and you take the picture, and it, like, as stunning as it can be, it doesn't even come close to what it actually is.
Yeah, it was so amazing. So I posted them on my Instagram, and I shot video every day of the trip, and I posted it on there. So on Qman REI, I kind of kept everything up to date, and I got lots of people who were telling me about their, them watching us go up and come back down, which was really cool. But it was just so much. It was so hard. I on day two, I had drank the water in the hotel. This is, just out of someone's, just a little story. So got to the hotel, bottled water, because they had put the water in the bottle and put the cap on. I thought, oh, this must be good water to drink, right? So those two bottles I drank, brushed your teeth, that sort of thing, at the hotel. And then by the second day, I was sick. And I think the only thing that I could think that was causing it was the water, compared to everybody else who was on the trip, because they didn't have the water at the hotel, and I had, and anybody that had seemed to have gotten sick. But I got it really bad on day two. I was hunched over in pain, probably the worst stomach cramps ever. I was puking and had to climb for 8 hours. So it was so hard, but I just persevered and got it done. And, my son actually walked with me the whole way. Like, he didn't have to, but it was real. I really appreciated him doing that with me. And I felt so, so good to be with him and doing it, but I was in so much pain. And then, getting past it. And every time, the guide was like, are you okay? I'm like, I'll be okay at lunch, I swear. Cause I didn't want him to take me off the mountain. But, kept going and got it done. And, together, got up to minus 10, up on the top there. Oxygen was down to about 53% at base camp, which was pretty crazy. You're pretty much heavy breathing as you're just walking up, right? But oh man, it was such an experience, so beautiful. I would highly recommend it. And if anybody's ever interested in doing a base camp trip, just reach out to me. I'd love to share, some tips and stuff like that, for sure.
Well, absolutely stunning posts too. And I will tell you, so even here where I am, if I go to a different area and drink the water there, sometimes I get sick, right? The water here is fine. And I think it's just acclimating to it to a certain degree. So it could be, because if I go somewhere and I stay there for a week, you might get sick at first, or you might not feel very good, but then you get used to it. So I don't know what that is, but it seems to be the way. Now, with the way that you were talking about it, it's almost like the pizza might have rivaled your Everest trip. It's
No,
like
no way in, no way, not even close. Yeah, the Everest trip was definitely something that both my son and myself will remember for the rest of our lives. Absolutely. Pizza was good. It was a meal, but no, that Everest trip was amazing. And I tried
that's
to do a
awesome.
talk about, doing hard things last night at the Durham REI meeting. I did a little talk about doing hard things. And, everybody should remember that even you and me and Powell, we all didn't have any properties to begin with. And, the only way that we can do take ourselves and get any sort of gains or success is to do those hard things, which is buying your first property, right? That's doing a hard thing at the time. You may not know anybody else that's doing it. And I think sometimes in our society, what ends up happening is that, we pander, and somebody's probably going to complain about this to me, but I think we pander to people because they think that, they deserve something that, that life hasn't given them, right? And, things are too hard, and, it's based on, what my skin color is, or, how my parents grew up, or whatever it was. But the thing is, you have to think of yourself where you are today. Yes, you've had all those things in the past, but what you do today is most important. And if you can do hard things today, you're going to see those gains and changes and improvements, right? We live in America, like we live in Canada, we live in the US, we live in countries that have amazing opportunities, right? Like we need to use it and not complain about it, right? So I think that's what I see is important, and for people to do hard things, because if I didn't, like one of the examples I had was, I bought 8 apartment buildings, 202 units, and if I didn't, do all the things that I needed to do to get that those 8 apartment buildings purchased and repositioned, and now we're still in that repositioning process, it wouldn't have been it's a hard thing. It was a hard thing at the time, but now going back and looking at it, I can say, I did it once, I can do it again. Like you can run a race, or you can, buy another property, right? It's all about doing hard things. Kilimanjaro, Everest, all the same. Do hard things, people. Do hard things.
It does seem like that there is a lot more entitled people coming up in the world these days. But I wanted, on that note, I wanted to mention that my all-time favorite quote is from Jim Rohn, the one that says, "Don't wish it was easier, wish you were better. Don't wish for less problems, wish for more skills. Don't wish for less challenges, wish for more wisdom." So that's always been my favorite one.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that, right? It's always about, I think if people work on improving themselves, I think that there would be much more abundance in the world rather than scarcity, which I think is what happens when you're complaining about that sort of stuff. Anyways, we're getting a little off topic, but I
Yeah,
think
you
it's
mentioned Durham REI, so I just want to go ahead and give that little plug again. So you're doing those Durham REI every month,
Yeah,
right?
we do monthly meetings, and we've got great speakers. So, and during July and August, we end up doing networking events. I think we're going to do one on a farm, which should be kind of cool, and we'll do a boat cruise in August, which will be
I was
fun
just
too.
going to ask you. So you got that lined up. Glenn, you're going to Glenn's farm for the
We're working on it. I'm talking, going back and forth, trying to get the dates and stuff. So from our last speaker, and I think it'll be a really good experience.
And you know what? Like some people might have skipped over that show just because it's a little bit off topic of what we normally talk about, but it was a great show. Go back and listen to sustainable farming with Glenn. Right.
Yeah, it was great. And you know, I didn't understand a lot of the investing side of it, and so it was great to kind of get those tidbits from Glenn through the podcast. Absolutely.
Okay, cool. So go to those network events too. When I was in the area, I'm a little bit too far away. I gotta come back sometime soon though. But anyway. Well, I gotta figure that out at some point because I'd love to see you guys in person, you know? But
Yeah.
those network events were always so much fun.
Yeah,
So
absolutely. Yeah, it's a great place to connect with people, and we've got always a good turnout and lots of experienced investors, which makes for a great conversation for sure. But like, you know, I think that's it makes it easier when you're doing things and moving together. You know, like if you're trying to run a marathon, go hang out in the running room, take a running room class on running a marathon. Train with people who are running for a marathon. You know what? You'll probably be able to be successful, right? It doesn't cost a lot to be able to do that. Actually, the running room is very cheap. But like, come out to events where people are doing the same thing as you because it just makes it easier. If you're trying to lose weight, don't hang out in the bakery, right? Hang out at the running room or a different place, wherever it is, or hang out at the gym, right? That's where you're gonna make changes. If you want to invest in real estate, hang out in rooms where people are investing in real estate. It just makes sense, right?
Specifically Durham REI. That's
Yeah.
my two
I
cents.
appreciate that.
Anyway, last thing I want to mention is on YouTube, you can go to our new channel, Hotel Project Costa Rica. I just put up the first video there. It's actually just a walkthrough before we even closed on it, and just some of the ideas that we had for what we were going to do. I'm sure a lot of those ideas are going to change over time. The guys are there renovating right now, and we've already made a bunch of changes to what we were planning to do. But the first video is there if anyone's interested. Go over to Hotel Project Costa Rica on YouTube.
Yeah.
Not .com. I don't have a website yet. Just on YouTube.
Yeah. And there's lots of changes that are happening in the market. You know, CMHC made some rule changes on June 4th for multifamily. So that, you know, there was like some changes where before we couldn't use seller financing. They've updated that so you can actually move from seller financing right to CMHC. They've made some changes to MLI Select. Amortization schedules. So it increased it for new construction, declassified or reclassified different types of projects. There's a bunch of stuff. So make sure to
So
check out the MLI
good
Select
changes
stuff.
though, right? Like good
Some of them
changes.
are good. I just have a problem with a couple. One is that now they've removed a lot of correspondence, so broker changes. So if you go with a broker, and you get a particular lender to give you a certificate of insurance, it has like, you know, whichever the lender is on there. Okay. If so, that means that you're locked into the lender from the very beginning of the COI process, basically, and it gives them the ability to say, oh, this is what we're going to give you. And if you don't like it, you'll have to start the process again, which is not. It's not very, I don't know, business friendly. So that's what I see is that the issue with the change. They've gotten rid of competition, which is going to make it on the lenders all of a sudden to set their, you know, basis points over the bond rate, which is eliminating some competition. I'm not really happy with that. The other one was they changed the component for scoring for energy efficiency. So they minimized it down to 50 from 100. And really, you have people who started projects or in the middle of projects who were going to do use the 100 points. And now their project doesn't make sense anymore. So, like, you know, all these changes, okay, I understand some the idea behind them and what you're trying to do, but now you're causing people who are in the middle of projects to be messed up. And I thought the idea here was to create more housing. But you know what? I guess, you know, at what there's too many agendas that are competing at the same time, you know. I don't know. I'm just a little. I like some of the changes I do, and I'm not trying to harp just on the problems here. You know, like one of the things that they changed was, you know, okay, if you refinance, we're not going to tell you how to spend the refinance funds. First of all, who can track that? Like, you know, it was a silly idea in the first place.
Right.
Second place is
Clinton,
like,
I see you bought a Corvette. That's,
this
you
is
know,
a,
it's like, well,
yeah.
that's the account that I use, you know.
Yeah, except you didn't see the hundreds of thousands that I spent on capital expenses on other buildings, or buildings, you know, maybe at different times, or maybe the year before instead of the year after. Like, you know, like, come on, stop, you know, nannying everybody and just do the job of an insurer, which is to ensure your default rate is fine. So obviously, like, have you ever seen like the default rate for CMHC mortgages in multifamily?
As a matter of
It's
fact, I look at that all the time. That was my reading yesterday.
ridiculously low. I'm sure that they get very
It?
bored
Yeah.
in their offices because they do diddly squat. So instead of focusing on that, let's get more insurance going and some competition. Maybe I'll let Canada Guarantee come in, or you know, Sagen come in and compete with CMHC in the multifamily space instead of, you know, creating this monopoly so that they can create policy. Anyways, I'm getting ticked off now, so.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Have you heard anything about a backpedal on the capital gains change?
No.
No.
I haven't, but it's a Ponzi scheme. Come on. Like, why would you set a date ahead of the time and let everybody know that
You
this is
kind of
when you're
have
going
to.
to do? No, what you would do if it was a change is you would say effective today. But what they did was they said effective June 19th
No.
or June 25th, right? So,
Isn't it, is it June or is it July?
no, it's
June.
June 25th.
June. Oh,
So
June.
what that means is all of a sudden you have all these people who have to get their capital gains done ahead of time. So I'm talking to my lawyer. I'm trying to do a refinance on two buildings, and they're like, "Yeah, we can't do anything before June 25th because we're doing so many at the same time,
Right.
right?" And
Yeah.
why? Why? Because what they have is the government has forced a lot of people to make this change in order to try to take advantage of the capital gains. I mean, that they think that we're stupid or something, that we don't see
Well,
this sort of
but people
stuff.
are, it doesn't matter whether you see it or not. Some people are still going to try and take advantage of it anyways.
No,
And just like that.
it makes sense as a business owner to take advantage of it. The problem is, you know, the optics now is like, oh, we gave you time. No, they didn't give us time. All they're trying to do is push more tax in, and you know, and it's really going to change the number of people who are investing in our country, you know, because all of a sudden, okay, now you've got that capital gains that you've taken. Are you going to keep it where you got the gain now, or are you going to take that and invest it somewhere else?
Well, I think that it's a possibility. I mean, just like that bear trust change that they made where everyone had to declare all their bear trusts,
Yeah, and then they got
right?
rid of it the day
And
of when it
the
was
day
due.
of, they said, oh, we're not going
What
to do
kind of
that
garbage? Like, who runs a gar anyways,
anymore.
I don't wanna I'm starting to get down a path. I usually am I am not the political
Well,
kind of
that's not
guy.
even political.
I
Really, like
just
that's not a political statement. Like
bad accounting.
look, I tried to do everything that I was supposed to do in order to line up for that. And then, you know, we spent thousands of dollars getting ready
Yeah.
for it. So, I mean,
Well, I spent
that's
tens of thousands. What a waste of money that is. You know, for all our corporations and trusts, I am so ticked off at that. Like, I can't get that money back. I want that money back from the government. Can I not get it back? No, of course not. Because, oh, we've changed our mind. Well, who's responsible for that? The person who changed their mind? Well, are they going to pay? No, I still have to pay
And then
for
all the
that.
people who are trying to avoid it or who weren't going to do it, you know,
Yeah. Nothing
just
happened.
nothing happened. Anyway,
Yeah.
okay, we are
Sorry. All
definitely
right. We're
veering
good.
off topic. So let's come back. We've got a great guest today. I'm excited to have him on. I've known you for quite a while, but we just haven't had a chance to get you on the show. So I'm really happy to have you here. Pavel.
Oh.
He is going to be sharing today on the importance of time freedom and how to change your mindset to achieve financial control over your life. So I'm happy to have you here, man.
Yeah,
Thank you.
I'll give you a little background on Powell. He was born and raised in Poland. He developed a passion for IT engineering. He spent 25 years working in the field. 2007, after his first apartment in Europe, he discovered a new passion, real estate. His wife, Iwa, and him migrated to Ireland and then to Canada. They bought their primary residence in Canada, which was a do-upper, and renovated it from top to bottom. During this time, Powell also focused on understanding financial products available to immigrants in Canada, as well as Canadian real estate market trends and challenges. Over the years, he has grown his portfolio to nearly 20 units in Ontario and Alberta. Powell's story is one of perseverance, strategic planning, and seizing opportunities. He's shown the right mindset and knowledge anyone can achieve through financial goals, through real estate investment.
You messed that in part up, but we'll forgive you. We love you anyway.
Hello. Yeah,
Yeah,
that's me. That's me. Yeah, grew up
thanks
in
again
Poland,
for
now in
coming, man. I really
Canada.
appreciate you on coming
No,
on.
thank you very much for having me. This is where it all started with you, Rob, actually, because
Oh,
I
that's where it
was.
all started. Yeah.
Well,
Interesting.
it's
Tell
not the
us
whole
about
thing.
that. Tell
No,
us about that.
we've been investing with my wife in Europe for quite some time, 2007, right? So it's
Yeah.
17 years, right? So we're not new to the game. And we
Right.
came to Canada 2016. Our
Okay.
choice. We weren't forced to do it. It was our choice. We came, we wanted, we invested almost 3 years in the process.
Right.
Landed, we're here. Good. I came in and, as a PR, well, we all came in as PRs, right? Which is a permanent resident, right? That grants you access to all provinces, all jobs. It's almost like a citizen, but you can't vote. That's the only difference, or a couple of other ones. I was like, okay. So it was very comfortable in Europe, and we were buying apartments, condos as you call them here, and then we were just moving along, right? So we maybe were at like five doors at that stage when we were moving to Canada. But in Europe, again, focusing on the differences with the financial products, it's we didn't hear anything like a refi, Rob. Like when I was in the front seat of your car going to Peterborough to double check, how are you going to do it? Because I spoke to so many people back then, and everybody was doing real estate. None of them cash flowed. I'm like, well, how are you doing real estate then? Appreciation. I'm like, well, right. It's like, okay. So everybody has their own strategy. It didn't, we focus on cash flowing. So we weren't interested in keeping it for 3 years and fingers crossed that it's going to go up. And as we can see, the last 2 years, it's proven that this strategy not necessarily always works, right? So we were quite shocked the first year when the real estate went up 22%, and then the next one, 33%. I was like, how are you going to save fast enough? You can't save fast enough. And it wasn't the case in Europe, right? In Europe, it just ticks up 1%, 2%, goes down 2%, right? It's very steady. In the long run, you're going to win, but it's very steady. It's not like swings like
A
here.
proper stable market is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's between three countries that I have exposure to at least, right? I'm not talking whole Europe because who knows what's happening in Spain? I don't, right? And then so moved here, and then this whole thing started, and we're like, okay, well, we decided to try Canada for a year, and then if we like it, if the system likes it, if everything clicks in, we're staying, because otherwise we can go back to Ireland, very comfortable life, lovely country, absolutely fantastic people. It rains a lot though, but hey, right? You can get used to that.
Smells a lot.
It
Smells
does, right? Never rains in the bar though, so flood sometimes.
a
Right, so a lot of
You
Guinness
can
drunk
find an
over
Irish
there,
pub
like,
or two around as well if that's what
oh,
you're
that's
looking
no
for.
problem, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, over here it's even run by Irish, right? So that's good.
Yeah, there's Irish pubs all over the world. Even Namche Bazaar in Nepal, there was an Irish pub.
Of course
There
there
is.
was. I was in Taipei. First thing I come in, Irish bar. I'm like, interesting, right? It's like, this is what they say. When I'm traveling with Irish people around the globe, first thing what we do, we find an Irish bar. Okay.
Yeah.
It's funny. I'm like, didn't you leave Ireland for a reason? You want to check something new? No. Let's go to the
Is that
bar.
like
Okay.
Chinese food though? Because what I hear is like Chinese food is not what people eat in China. You know, like the way that we would go into the restaurant and get like,
Oh, with the
chicken chow
Guinness,
mein and
they
that
love
kind
to
of
trust
thing.
the
It's
Guinness.
like, people, yeah. Well, Guinness is Guinness, I guess.
I think it's a national sport. They're like, no, it doesn't taste the same.
Well, and yeah, bangers and mash. That's how you have to like. Yeah, pump that's food. How you have to judge it. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. That's great. So, now, one thing I want to say though. I just want to point out that hopefully it wasn't in my car. I would never have said that we're banking on appreciation. I like
that's No. So let me continue the story, right? This is not you. No. Sorry if I misspoke this one. So then I was in your car because when we started talking, you finally started, you know, well, I found somebody who started saying things that I wanted to hear, cash flow, all these things. And I'm like, but then it turns out we can't just be in Toronto and neighborhoods. We need to go up to Peterborough. I'm like, maybe that's the case then. Right? So we started going and, you know, two or three times we went with you and you were focusing on then adding a unit, I think, and then cash flowing out of that, right? So we visited projects, ongoing projects, absolutely fantastic trip. I loved it. But in the car, you guys were talking like about refis and different things. And I was like, what the hell is a refi? Like, it's like, I've never heard about that, right? It's like, and then you explain me that. I'm like, that makes no sense. It's like, how can you tap into the equity if you own something? Because it never happened in my life, right? So, and then, yeah, it turns out it's a thing, right? So we started learning about all these things. And then thanks to your trip, we understood that, okay, different markets, appreciation market over here, but then further up north, it's more, you know, either balance or maybe towards cash flowing. And we ended up buying our first investment properties when it finally came to it in North Bay, right? So we bought two duplexes in one day, and then we got the triplex, and then we kept on buying in one town. Because you know, one team, you don't have to, you know. So that was a good start. It gave us the you know impression of okay, well, so it's doable. What we were doing there, we can do it over here. Now, with that said, we also learned how provinces are different to each other, which was quite new to me. I thought Canada was Canada, and then it turns out that in Ontario, it's a completely different ballgame than in Alberta or wherever else. Right? So we went back to the drawing board because buying in Ontario seemed like introducing additional risk that we don't have control over if somebody stops paying. And we found a solution for that in another province. So we started investing in Alberta just to balance the market. Again, going back to the appreciation, great, Ontario works well. Alberta, not so much when it comes to appreciation, well, it's maybe the last 2 years. But it gives that cash flow and it gives that control over the deal. If there's an issue, we can come to a solution within a month, let's say, not 15 months, right? So that was a surprising factor we didn't anticipate. And it only shows you that you can read all the books and listen to all the podcasts, but until you do it, you know, there's always stuff that you're going to learn, right? So yeah, we just kept on buying in Alberta since, and with the last purchase, funny that you were talking about CMHC, because we just closed on an eightplex with CMHC MLI Select on the affordability path. Well, that was in walk in the park, wasn't it? Like that was challenging, and they kept on changing the rules. Like, well, the difference was we didn't refi into it; we went straight in with the CMHC. So we were, to, you know, as a purchase, and it took 6 months, but we got it done. So many things happened, and also referring to your story, Quentin, about doing hard things. 2 months ago, my mother died. Right, so we were in the process of acquisition. All of a sudden, you have this wobble in your life, and I needed to go to Poland for a month, right? So I went to Poland for a month. I dealt with this whole situation. We had a good plan because that wasn't planned for her to die, but I was supposed to go there for a month anyway. So, okay, my in-laws are here now. That's why I'm in my wife's office today. They were supposed to be here, and I was supposed to be there taking care of her, right? Which only proves that you can have the best plan ever, but the variables are going to change and it won't work, right? So it didn't work, but we had to, you know, continue on going down the path with the CMHC and the, oh my God, so many different reports and people to contact and so many different changes that we had to, you know, adjust to. But we got it done. But if I gave up because, you know, Pavel has an issue, the world doesn't stop, right? So you have to do the hard things. Otherwise you're going to have a harder life, in my opinion. So yes, I can relate to that. Yeah, I can relate to that. So with the last purchase, yeah, we're over 20 doors now. They're all cash flowing, so it looks like it's another brick towards this to your coin, Quentin. At some stage, you're going to see me on your stage going, "I think I've done it," and then
that's awesome. That's good. And So I'm like, curious. So like there are lots of different types of investments out there. Why did you choose real estate? Like what made you choose it?
I like the tangibility of the assets, the fact that I can touch it, the fact that I can, and people need to live somewhere. So we've seen that happen. I was growing up in Poland in 1980s and 1990s, so exactly when the system has changed. I went to the hyperinflation. At that stage, I did not appreciate what was happening, but now looking back and checking a few statistics, I was like, oh my goodness, what do you mean inflation 575%, right? Mid-90s, right? So, and I
Wow.
hear stories, my mother-in-law sitting downstairs now sipping coffee, she says, yeah, I remember the fight went at whoever sold the field, massive fields, agricultural. And they fast forward a year, they couldn't buy a pair of pants with the same amount of money because it was just skyrocketing, right? She says she was earning 3,000 whatever units zlotys in Poland. And then in 2 years, she was earning 3 million. So who cares how much you save? That money makes no sense, right? So,
Right.
and then we
Yeah.
started looking differently on the money as a concept, not as something that you chase, as the concept of money. We started learning about the concept of it. And that's a very interesting path that it took us. Like so it opened our eyes, but only due to the fact we came to Canada, we spoke to people like Rob, who opened our eyes to different things that you have going on over here. And we started learning about it, right? So, and yeah, once there is it's a proven path. If you just follow that, it has to happen if you don't
What are
make
some of
too
the
many mistakes.
interesting things that you learned about when you started to study money, like you said there? Like,
The
was it
tangibility of the
them
assets.
or?
That if you have access to, so there's products that will give you access to the capital inside the like readvisable mortgages, what I'm trying to say, right? So you pay down the principal and the HELOC portion kind of balances itself out. So it grows as you pay it down. And you can tap
Okay.
into, right? It's like now, so we were like, okay, so we can still have the house and still have the access to the money. So if something happens, we can still, pull it out. Because in Europe, that wasn't the case. If you wanted to have the money, you need to sell it. And it's not a quick process to sell something, right? It's like it takes time, right? So if you need quick access to money, that's so in Europe, we were going like half speed with real estate, right? We only went up to like five. But again, that was like cash buy and we didn't take any mortgages, right?
Oh,
Over
I
here,
guess.
when you
Yeah, that's funny. It's like half speed. Well, who's half speed according to who, right?
yeah, according to what
Yeah.
we were doing, because we were doing a lot of other things, right? So real
Yeah.
estate was kind of, yeah, let's buy one apartment. It doesn't take long. It was like being an accidental landlord in a way, because we weren't focusing on providing housing. To people who are focusing on keeping the money somewhere and making sure that it grows and it's kind of safe.
So, do you still own those properties in Europe?
We sold some to help with the investments over here. We still to hold on to a couple just to...
I just out of curiosity, what did you purchase it for and when? And what are those ones in Europe worth today? In
Okay.
the
Well, the one that I can tell you exactly is I purchased it for $50,000 now, current Canadian dollars. So 1.3, the one zloty is or $1 is 3 zloty. So $50,000, and now it's worth about $120,000. Now it's been sold since, right?
What year did
Not
you buy it?
what, yeah.
2007. That was it. Was
Okay.
it was yeah. It's so it just shows you that it. Let's say it doubled, but that took like 17 or I sold it about 2 years ago. That took like 15 years for it to
15
double,
years. Okay.
right? But
Yeah.
again, in the long run, you're going to win, and we've seen it, right? And we've seen this, and we were never banking on the government to give us anything, especially that we were just scattered around the whole globe, Europe, Poland, Germany, Ireland, right? It's like now Canada. It's it's.
Now, here's an interesting question for you. Now, I don't know if you're going to be able to answer this. In 2007, if you had $50,000 in lotties in the bank, what
Yeah.
would that be worth today?
It's the inflation in Poland has been quite rough recently, right? So it's in the there is a government help which 5 years ago was 500 units, and now to make it equal 500, so what 500 was able to give you prior to the pandemic, now they need to give out 800. So even over here, you can see that it devalued the zloty a lot. I will come back to you on this. I know how to find that
Yeah.
information. I don't have it.
It's I would just interested because that would be a good comparison.
That's
500,
true.
50,000 in the bank, 50,000 in a house. So, at least you retained the value and as well exceeded it. That's probably, 150% or 150% in increase, right? So we're close to that anyways. 100 and 40%, something like that over
15 years.
15 years. That's 10% a year. That's still, half,
Not
very
bad.
decent. Yeah.
And we've seen it, right? And we also, so my wife was with the same mindset. And we were never banking on anybody giving us anything. And also banking on your employer to providing for your, it's not on the employer, it's on you. So
And
it's kind of.
what's the differences in Europe and North America? Like, can you what like financing wise, what do you get in Europe or Poland in particular for financing? Like, was there financing?
Yeah, well, so there can be. Now there is. Prior to, 1990s, no financing. It was government owned, and you were allowed to live there in a way. But then after 1990s, yeah, it changed, right? And then all the products came. So, but it's still a young market if you think about it, right? For all these products, they try different things. They try these different currency mortgages. That's been forbidden since because there was a lot of scamming going on when it comes to their changing the rates. Let's say you have a 20-year mortgage in Swiss francs, right? In Poland, you earn in Polish zloty, and all of a sudden the Swiss franc, which happened, went up 100% because they had a cap. They had it capped, and then they removed the cap, the Swiss bank, and then it shoot up, right? So instead of 1 to 2, it's 1 to 4 now. So you need to, make like all of a sudden overnight, it was like your debt that just doubled, right? So that was tricky. I went through this exercise as well. I ended up in court. I was suing a bank for that. I won, right? Yeah, well, it's I European Union told them that they failed, so I won by that. I didn't like the government. It's the ruling came from the top, but I was still there going, oh, you need to give me my money back, right? Because if you don't ask, you will not get it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's again, with the young, so let's focus on Ireland now. If you purchase something in Ireland, it's the same thing. So you need, as a first-time buyer, you need 10%. The prices, let's say we got something in Ireland in 2010, I think it was. We sold it in 2015. That was bought for 210, and we sold it for 262, I think. All right, so we got that additional chunk of money because this is what we were doing. We were moving to a country, we were buying something, and we were using real estate as an additional help to every couple of years. We don't have problems moving. Well, now we do a little bit because we have two kids and it's with the school and stuff. Which Rob, by the way, I always hats off to what you have done, right? You pick up your family and you just went to Costa Rica. So I admired you on that because your boys were. They were older then, right? It's like, well, older, 12,
They were
10.
8 and 9 at the time, but that talk about getting out of your comfort zone. Yeah, you definitely, there's a lot of that going on for a move like that for sure.
How are they finding it now?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's home.
Yeah,
They're
perfect. Well,
enjoying it a
that's.
lot. Like they're in school here, It's not the same type of school. Like it's the school they're in is not US accredited. And we're rightfully or not all that concerned about that. I think that my children are going to have to be entrepreneurs. They're not going to have much of a choice. So, and that doesn't bother me any, and I don't think it bothers them any at all either. So, it is an interesting lifestyle change, but we're adapting quite well and we love it here. So,
Right.
I can't see us moving back to Canada.
Yeah, probably the amount of snow that you're getting there is quite limited as well, right? So,
Yeah, a
yeah,
little, yeah. Yeah,
we
not so
swapped
much.
rain to snow. Yeah, so we were a decade in rain and then we moved. Hey, why wouldn't we shovel a few things? So let's move to Canada. So what
I
we
did last like 2 years not complaining about the heat, but
do.
last little while I've went back on that a bit.
Well, it's yeah.
Darn
So
hot.
So that, right? But I hear that in Costa Rica it's a little bit different when it comes to purchases, right? So right now there is like you can get financing from the builder. Is that
It
happening?
depends. It
Does
depends. Like every project is different, and the bank financing, the options aren't great. I usually recommend that people bring the money through refinance or HELOC or whatever they've got to do to bring it down here and use it that way.
right, makes sense. Yeah.
I think as Rob, traveling down to Costa Rica and you coming from Poland to Ireland to Canada, you must have faced some challenges when you're starting out. Like you're starting out again and then you're starting out again. How did you overcome those? Like what were the challenges and how did you overcome them?
Well, the big hurdle was the language from Poland. That transition Poland to Ireland was a little bit tricky because at that stage, Ireland wasn't as open to foreigners. It was in 2004, the European Union said, "Hey, why won't you come?" So we did, right? The Eastern Europeans and everybody. But we came with no language or limited language or different accents, that's for sure, however your language skills were. So if you didn't speak like Irish people, they did not understand you. That was the tricky bit, that you had to learn English in a way that is spoken there. Now go to Ireland and go from the city to the city, start speaking to people. They all speak differently. They don't understand each other, or they pretend not to understand each other, right? Because there was a game going on as well, right? And that was a big one. No, I knew English, or I thought I knew English, but then they polished my English over the 10 years. So now I can communicate in that language, which is
Well,
nice.
it is funny because I can sense a little bit of an Irish accent in your.
I
Yeah.
did pick it up because again, I had to be, I had to learn that way, right? Otherwise, and then it changed. Now you go to Ireland, it's completely different. But we're talking 20 years after, right? They just opened and we just came, so it was what's happening in Poland right now. Poland is seen as a country where people migrate from either more east, and they settle down there. They look at Poland as I was looking at Ireland. It's fantastic. I came back for a month to Poland now. Not that I wasn't visiting. I was there like twice a year, for a week or a couple of days, or just to visit my mother and fly her over here, whichever way, right? But then what that month allowed me to do is this is an international and multi-culti country already, right? It's like there's so many foreign people for so many foreign students that is really booming. Like it has turned into that developed country label 5 years ago, I think it was 2019, prior to the pandemic, right? So there was so much money pumped into it through the European Union. That comes with a price as well, because the banana needs to be, at a certain angle now, and cucumber needs to be wrapped up in the whatever. But people, they seem to have a better life now, which is, it's not the same country that I left in 2004. Right?
That's interesting. So
Yeah.
things have really changed. Now when you were when you came as a permanent resident to Canada, what were those challenges like that you had? So you had the language challenge, but in particular when you're looking at real estate.
Oh, okay. Well, over here, we, as mentioned, we gave a year to for to double check if Canada experience is going to work for us, and then we are never a fan of, as I mentioned, we were using real estate to give us that additional boost, right? So we wanted to do the same thing over here, but we landed in Toronto, where a small bungalow with a basement. I was like, I'm not spending $1 million on this. This is ridiculous money. Like it's like that's not happening. So we started looking, and also a massive help is, of course, that I'm not doing it alone, right? So I have a wife that goes with me through the challenges, and we go together through this. So whatever needs to be done, it's always, you have somebody to share that burden with, which helps a lot, right? Language wasn't an issue moving to Canada anymore because 10 years of talking and speaking in that language with Irish people, but again, also. The first house was easy. We were like, okay, so we're getting it, but we didn't want to spend too much. So we went to Ajax and we got a better bang for the buck in a way, right? So we also knew that a do-upper is what we want, right? So we got a townhouse and unit townhouse that had to be just redone, all the bathrooms and everything. We had the
What
basement,
year was that?
2017, so a year after we came.
Okay.
And then we stayed in that house and we renovated it till you were leaving, Rob, because you were in that house telling us, this needs to be done, this needs to be done. It was when we were finishing the top, right? It's like, so, and I was thinking about you to help us sell it, but at that stage you were on your way out, right? So he was, I remember him standing in the hallway and then going, yeah, this is what we would do, and the carpet needs to go, and this, and we pretty much done that, right? And then we flogged it. We flogged it at the perfect time where there was nothing on the market. It was 2021, and we knew that how much money we're going to get out of it, and we had a plan for that. We wanted an upgraded primary residence, which I'm standing over here, and rental units. I wanted rental units. By that 4 years of renovation, we you know, I was part of Duran Ray, for example, right? It's like, learning from people like yourselves, right? It's like, so you mentioned you purchased a complex of 200 plus unit. Well, that's not a normal statement for a person to say, you know what I mean? So I was interested, how are you doing it, right? It's like, how like you and I, we both have 24 hours in the day. How is it that you could do it? And like, what am I lacking to get it done? So these were the answers that, you know, the questions were kept coming, and I just kept on finding the answers to these questions. Mm-hmm. And like exactly what you said, rubbing shoulders with people doing it, you're going to start doing it. Maybe on a smaller scale, because we're still self-capitalized. We don't look for investors, because when I peeked under the curtain of the security laws, I was like, whoa, we're not touching that subject yet, because we want to make sure that we have it all figured out. And now we do, right? So now we will be trying to find investors and for other projects and stuff like that. But only, well, we're managing over 25 doors now in Canada. Right? So it's nice, right? Because with the eightplex and we're focusing on central Alberta, and it works. So we have something that we can rinse and repeat now. But we had to test it first. I can't offer anything to especially we don't have family in this country, right? So you have all friends and families and people that potentially, hello?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, it all froze up.
No, we can still hear you fine.
Okay. So we don't have that, right? So we wanted to first build something to prove them. And we also didn't want any strangers in our bubble, in a way. So we want to make sure that this lifestyle is sorted with, you know, the real estate. And then should we choose to continue with the real estate as a business, we're going to have investors then, right? So we're close to that.
Sounds like the biggest challenge was proving to yourself that you could do it.
Yeah, and learning about the products that are available, because the big question was when you mentioned about refis, and I never heard about that, what else didn't I hear about? Right. So then we found out so many other things that we didn't hear about. And then we understood the concept of money rather than trying to chase the money, because I think that mindset has changed as well. So now we look at money as a, I don't know, you need to nail in the wall, you need a hammer. If I need to purchase something, we can use money. It doesn't have to be my money, right? It can be somebody else's hammer to nail that thing. Right? So yeah, this is where we are right now. We're part of a lot of master classes and master groups, two in particular, and we try to, you know, build the life.
Would you say that was the most important step to propel you forward? Or is there something else that you would consider the most important, you know, action step that helped you to propel you in real estate?
One of the biggest hurdles that we had was joining the first masterclass that we had to pay for. And I think at that stage, they wanted like $5,000 for the thing. And we were like, no, that's way too much money. And then we waited. And then I think we came back to the subject like 4 months later. And that was a developing business. And they just said, yeah, it's $8,000 now. And we're like, oh. And then we did the same thing. We're like, no, that's too much money. And we're like, hold on one second. Like we came back to the subject. So we bit the bullet and, you know, we spend that money, and that allowed us to network with people. I think the realization out of this, of course, the content and it helped us to understand a couple of things. It helped us to understand how corporations work in Canada. And then, you know, we did our own research and spoke to professionals about it. And that changed a lot of things, because knowing how corporations work, I transitioned my IT business into a corporation. Okay. And then you have the real estate business. Well, if IT is working, real estate can work the same way, because the rules are pretty much the same, right? So So it's with small ticks and tricks. And then we learned that not necessarily every accountant is specializing in everything, right? So we spoke to our IT accountant and we're like, hey, what do you think about real estate? And he goes like, go with stocks. I'm like, okay, you're not that accountant then. So we went, right? We went to and found another team that specializes in real estate, and we had chats with them, and they were able to show us, you know, other things. So I think that was the biggest one. That's making sure that, okay, we spent the money, we invested ourselves, and it paid off.
Right. And that is a scary action step. It definitely is. Because you don't
if
know.
You don't have money.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, again, I'm sure there's plenty of courses that are worth it and whatever, but there is so much free information out there now too, that, that man, like you can take advantage of a lot of that stuff.
That's right.
Podcasts and even like, well, books and audiobooks. I'm a big fan of audiobooks, right? So I can't even remember the last time I had an actual book in my hand, but I can absorb them much better through audio, I find. And so like, not that that's free, but you know, I've got my Audible membership. You get a book a month, you know?
Exactly. Even that one book a month.
Absolutely. That's it.
I switched to audiobooks. We have a child that's 2.5 years now. So for the last 2.5 years, I did not have a book in my, I just don't have time because whenever I'm here, you know, there's stuff and that can be in your ear and you can do stuff
right.
with it. Right?
And you can walk on the beach and justify your learning.
That's right.
But I have two questions for you, actually. One of them is, sure. The first one is, you mentioned that a lot of your properties are in North Bay. What was the draw to North Bay? Because I don't know. I think we've had a couple of people on from North Bay, but who invested in North Bay. But what's the draw there?
Well, we did finally the numbers to work, right? So we bought the two duplexes in that one day, and we kept it for like 4 months, and we started looking around and visiting North Bay a little more often and see if we want to continue. At first, we wanted to plant the flag and understand the process of buying and just slowly start to understand everything, how it works, right? And how would that go? We had a property manager on them. It was nice, right? Because you had limited number of things that you had to do. If there was an issue, they were dealing with it. So we could focus on acquiring more. So we were visiting North Bay. I don't know what's about that town. It's very blue collar and there is trouble there, yes. And you need to know kind of where to go or not to go. But very honest people. And then I didn't have any issues with the tenants. It might be down to the screening because we're part of the screening. It's not only the property manager. And again, we've been doing it since 2007. So we kind of, we like to think we have a radar, a good radar for the tenants. And so far with the tools now that you have, single keys or what's the other one? They allow you to screen people, no problem. So it helps that. When it comes to North Bay in 1990s, when they wrapped up the base, you probably know more about this than I do. There was a military base there, right? And then there was like 4,500 soldiers there. But then it went down to 500, and the town all of a sudden were like, "Oh my goodness, what are we going to do now?" So they found different businesses, right? So it's very stretched. There was a lot of forestry. There's a lot of well, agricultural things and, you know, mining a little bit as well, right? So they have that base still. There is the airport. They have the ski hills. So far, it's been super, the market for us to be in, because even though here the market around Toronto has dipped, over there it just kept on going. During the wobble, we're still refinancing. We're still taking money out, and it's still going up, right? So it's a territory market, very, very, you know, 52,000 people, I think, or 54,000 people. So smaller market, but again, we like that, right? The last purchase was also just beside Red Deer. In you know, if you look at Alberta, you have Calgary, Edmonton, in the middle, there's Red Deer, 100 people, 100,000 people. Below that, you have smaller communities. We bought in one of the smaller communities as well. So I just find them working well. And once you, smaller community, everybody knows each other in a way. So if you're, and we are present in our business, yeah, you will do well.
Very good. The next question I wanted to ask you is just that I noticed in your in your actual long bio, because the one that Quentin read was a little short, a shortened version of it. But you had mentioned the importance of time freedom, like building for time freedom. So I wanted to ask you, because I've been very interested in this lately and hearing what people's different perspectives is like all this stuff that we're doing is for a reason, right? Like we're not just, I mean, it's fun to some degree, but what freedoms has real estate afforded you?
Mm-hmm. It's a good question. In our house, I think after moving to Canada, after we, you know, 2017, during pandemic for sure, the time has become the currency that we were like, we need more time. We started outsourcing things like cleaning the house, $120. Lady comes in every 2 weeks, cleans the house. Okay, that's 4 hours. I don't remember when I was shopping last time because Eva has this app and they bring it stuff to your house. Right? Okay. They take a picture. She's on chat with people going, hey, they don't have this milk. Will I send you this milk? And she's like, no. Right. So we started looking for time everywhere. The real estate, I've been traveling to Poland again, right? It's like Europe. I've been traveling a lot because my IT job prior to pandemic was opening data centers around the globe. So Asia, everywhere. I was gone for a week every month, right? So that wasn't ideal. All of a sudden, my kid was 4. I was like, ooh, that's fast, right? So another, what, 4 times this and you're moving out? Oh my goodness, right? So I didn't like that realization, right? And then, you know, during the pandemic, we started realizing it even more that you can't buy time. You can't make it more of it. So unless you use what you have now, it's gone. Like that second, gone, right? So it's, and you have, did you see that calendar where people have like my life in weeks or something and they just doodle on it? And there's like, it's not for everybody.
Sounds anxiety inducing. So
right. Oh, exactly. Right. I don't have it either.
Quinn's holding it up.
I didn't want that, but yeah, but I know that people do it, right? So whatever works for you, if that motivates you, hey, but that's again, that's down to time, right? Just like you have this,
yeah.
You're taking stuff up. And now, you know, with a couple of friends passing and then my mother passing, it's now we already have the snowball already moving. So we know where we're going, and give another 3, 4, 5 years, even without investors in, we're good, right? I have a number, I need to reach that number. And this life is taken care of, which is the moment where Quentin, I'll text you going, hey, I think I'm ready with the financial freedom stuff, right? The coin.
Yep.
I don't know if listeners know about what you do, right? You give a coin when somebody reaches financial freedom.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it's just a little memento, but it signifies that, you know, this is an achievement, and you know, we celebrate members who have done that, right? And I think it's just a nice little memento, but it also means that other people in the room, it gives them the opportunity to talk to those people and ask, you know, how did you do that, right? So yeah, absolutely, please do.
that's exactly what I did. That's exactly what I did. A guy who, a property manager in Ottawa, he got a coin. I remember that one. And I was like, I was tracking him down. I was like, he sits there. I need to talk to him. And I did talk to him.
Yeah, that's funny. Everyone does sit in the same spot.
Right? Exactly. Right? Yeah. So so this is what kind of motivates us. It's like the first realization when, you know, the kid was all of a sudden 4, and then, you know, you lost 2 years because in this country it was a little bit different. And they put me in a, I was coming back from Europe, they put me in a quarantine hotel for extended amount of time.
Wow, yeah.
Out of the blue, I was like, I'm sorry, did I land in the right country?
I did what I had to do to avoid that.
Yeah. I was in the process of applying for citizenship of this country, so I didn't want to steer it.
Yeah.
But today it will be a different discussion, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. There's no way I could do it. Like, my wife is diabetic and my kid, like, he won't eat pretty much anything you put in front of him at the time. He's gotten actually quite a bit better now, but there's just no way I could do that.
Yeah.
That was some frightening. And I was watching some videos online of people that were stuck in those. There's some frightening reality going on back then.
Well, what was weird was that when I landed, they used the phrase of government facility. And to my Polish ear, it doesn't have the right tone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not touching that. I'm not going near that building. Right? I said, yes,
Yeah.
you are. And all of a sudden, there was four policemen around me. I'm like, okay. So.
Yeah, we went way too far in the wrong direction at that time. But
I think so.
Yeah, but
the accountability for that will come right after the other accountability Quentin was talking about at the beginning of the show. So hold your breath, everybody.
We'll see.
We've
got an election next year, so we'll see what happens. But you know, one of the things you talked about, the freedom, and then, you know, coming over. But where do you see your business going in the future?
Well, currently we are buying in Alberta. I don't want to open another country. I know that there was a lot of people going to US and not liking the changes, and it's I learned how to, you know, look at dealt cards and just play with them rather than okay. So we will get it to the level where we will be able to support ourselves, and you know, Eva will be okay and I will be okay. We don't have to work. We will work, but we don't have to work. This is the first level that we want to get to. The fact that, you know, we're already in it and my work can be done from wherever. I just pick up my laptop and I can do stuff now because I don't have to travel open data centers. Everything, the good thing out of the COVID thing is that the IT world has just sped up so much. All the remote stuff, oh my God, like I can do whatever with this laptop now. I'm buying cars and shipping them to Poland. Why not? Right? It's one of the businesses we've done in Canada, right? It's like you can buy a laptop, buy a car, not even see it. You need to have a license, of course, and make sure that you adhere to all the regulations, both federally and provincially, which I learned about. And then you can do that business without even moving your finger. Well, maybe one finger. right? And it's funny because then after you realize this and you look at how you built this business, because we are building it with property managers. We still have, you know, stuff in Europe, we have stuff in Alberta, we have stuff 4 hours north from here. We don't have to touch it. We don't have to, you know, every day. Why would I? So with that realization that you can do it remotely, you can do whatever you want and from wherever you want, right? So I was in Poland playing poker with my friends 2 months ago, and I was, you know, still, my mother was there. I still visited to mine her. And there was rents coming into my inbox, right? Because it was the first or the second or whatever. And I was just, and that can be, well, so you've done it. You know how it is, right? It's like, for me, that was a big realization just, what was it, a year ago? That first time when I was in, you know, in Poland, and first time I started getting money for, well, not really doing that much that month, right? Because it was a calm month, right? It doesn't happen every day, but not many things got flooded or whatever, right? And it was okay, right? It's so you're sitting over here having fun, the money's counting up, good. So yeah, there is hope that you can build it with that time freedom in mind. Again, I don't need two Lamborghinis in front of, is it Lamborghini or Lamborghini? Because my kid is always, it's Lamborghini. I'm like,
I'm not sure. I'm not a big car guy myself.
I'm certainly not the authority on it either.
Yeah, my younger son is, so he could probably tell us. But
all right.
But I am not. I like my truck, and I'll probably drive it into the ground. So
what kind of truck?
I do the same thing.
Quentin, what kind of truck do you have?
I got a Dodge Ram, like a
Dodge Ram. I think that's how you say it. That's the proper. That's the correct way to say it. So
yeah,
you're good there.
You know, everybody is different though, you know. So like, I guess what motivates you? What gives you the inspiration in the drive here?
Well, at this stage, we have a, you know, a second kid now who's 2.5, and with the 4 years lost in he's 9 now. So, you know, I think this is the trigger now. I don't want to waste some more time on this. And also this also grounds us when it comes to not do too much with real estate, right? Because you can go full on this, right? We still have our jobs, which is IT, and Eva does e-learning things. She's developing courses for, used to be Ryerson University, then TMU, and now she started her own company, right? So we're quite busy as it is. And I don't want to spend the extra time on real estate, which I don't have really, because I want to spend with them. So it's a constant juggle between the life and balance and this. And I think that at some stage, the real estate is going to, like with this puzzle, what we've done on Friday, that's one of the biggest that we've closed, 8, right? It's like, it's actually, it's the biggest that we've closed, 8 units in one go. We've done four, we've done, you know, six, but eight hasn't happened yet, right? So the next one, as you, exactly what you said, I've done it once, why won't I do it again? Check it out, right?
Yeah.
It's, now I can do 12. Or it's, yeah, so with this, it's just going to speed up this whole thing. So as I stand now, I mentioned a couple of years or maybe 3 years. It might be next year, I don't know. But it's certainly I don't want to, you know, spend all the time on this. I do check my check myself that I spend time with the kids, because that was a big no-no in my world. Because this whole thing, what we were doing, I was explaining, what's your why? Oh, it's the family. It's like, but you're not spending any time with the family. How is this? It's, you know, so it's I've seen that happen a couple of times as well. So that's the biggest.
I've seen that happen
one.
A lot.
Yeah,
a lot. I mean, I think that's one of the best things that we can do with our time freedom from real estate, to spend it with the family. And I am very blessed to have so much time with mine, right? Because most people are gone. They're off 12 or 14 hours a day.
Yeah.
And stressed from their job and traffic when they get home from that. So
that was what we spotted here. Like it's a complete, not completely, it's a different day that you're having in Europe, in Canada. If you're just on a regular basis, if you go to work, like my neighbors were gone 7 a.m., they were back at 8 p.m. And I'm like, what's going on? So I started talking to them, right? As we were discovering this part of the world, it's very business oriented over here when it comes to, you know, you need to work in corporate and the traffic and everything. Oh my, wow, right? So I was lucky enough that, again, I was 3 weeks in the house, and then in a week I was gone, but I was like Taipei or somewhere, right? So came back, okay, another 3 weeks at home. So I don't have to travel within Toronto, because even now, if I have to go from me west, no, I prefer to go east, right? It's like I don't want to drive to Toronto, right? It's too busy, it's too crowded. There's always something going on. And doing it daily?
Yeah, I know.
Pandemic came, my wife came back going, I don't like this fact that I can't go to the office anymore. Fast forward 2 years, she goes, no, I quit that job because they're trying to make me go to the office. I'm like, okay. Right? She realized not only saving time, money, okay, $400 a month is not small money, right? It's a small amount. And the go train back and forth, it adds up. But the big thing was 3 hours of your time of a day.
Yeah.
That's over 10% of the day.
Yeah.
You spend in the car.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, even when I got started, I just want everybody to understand this too. Like in 2004, like I'm getting started. 2008, I'm kind of scaling my business. Now, that time, I felt like I had three jobs and my kids were small and I was working really hard. And it did take me, you know, 3 or 4 years of that working hard to be able to get into a position where I could say, hey, listen, you know, I can probably quit my job now. And then I was able to spend more time with my family and my kids and have more flexibility. But I did not have balance at the beginning. So I don't want people to go away saying, hey, you know, I can do this. But, you know, there are challenges with that whole balance. And I was never really good at it. But at the same time, now I can spend 3 weeks with one of my kids.
Climbing Mount Everest, why not?
Just with him and I, and, you know, doing something different. So I think that, you know, you got to find out what motivates you and inspires you in order to do all this. Because otherwise, what's the point? You know, there was one metric that I heard from a speaker, Paul DeBruzzo, a while ago. It was like a return on life. And I love that concept. Like, well, you know, it's not just return on investment, it's also return on life. What is it that's driving you to do all these things? Because if it's just dollars, there are other ways, you know, you can do it. But if it's, you know, to spend more time with your family, or to travel more, or, you know, maybe it's cars, maybe it's, you know, whatever it is that drives you, but you have to find out what motivates you. And that's more of a personal development thing, right? And you're right. You can't just say it. I want to spend time with your family. Like, you actually have to do it.
Right? Yeah. There's the second part.
Maybe have a plan for what you're going to do. But the other thing, too, that I notice is a lot of people let their career define who they are, or you know, like they build on that in their own mind. So it's like when somebody says, what do? It's always career, right? It's not who are you?
And the titles get very confusing now. It's like, because now, you know, when we own multiple now, businesses, like I can call whoever, however I want, director of finance, or it's, you know what I mean? Like it's the title doesn't mean that much. That's another transition that I went through. In Europe, it actually meant something. And then when we came here and we looked behind the curtain of doing it actually as a business, when somebody tells me that, you know, he's blue, 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 and it's just, you know, it's, what do you actually do? What does it mean? And then it's the next question is, where's the ladder, you know, is it against the right wall or the left wall? Is the left wall you? And because if it's if you're spending, I work with wonderful people, absolutely stunning individuals, smart, but they spend 18 hours working for, you know, a job that, well, somebody said, who's going to remember in 20 years that you spent, you know, 20 hours every day? And then the answer was your kids. The manager or whoever director, they're going to be long gone, if not the whole company, right? So I always look at them curiously going, well, hey, do you do anything for yourselves? And I've had a lot of people that's are not, right? So you're I try to talk to them in a way, not to advise by all means. I don't you know, tell you what to do, but I try to make sure that they understand that there's more to it, right? It's like fast forward 10 years. And what I've seen so many, the longer you live, right, the more you see. He spent 10 years, 15 years, and then all of a sudden management change, he's gone. Mm-hmm. That's it. Next day, there's no, like, you know, especially, you know, in North America, that's very fast. In Europe, at least you get like 3 months of a notice. Over here, 2 weeks, or in Alberta, tomorrow. Good luck. What then? You know, if you don't have a plan, it's not fair to burden your employer with this. It's on you.
Yeah, and I think most people don't think like that, right? Most people are only looking at, like, when they look at how their income is derived, they only look at their job as their only real income source.
Right.
But what you're saying to me is that you have your job, and then you have real estate, and then you may have other income sources. And the fact that you have choice, where you direct, you know, where your income comes from, means that you're not dependent on that one income source. And the more you can change that dynamic, the more choice that you'll have to be able to, you know, do, you know, have that freedom to say, okay, well, you know, really this week my kid's going away on a trip. Well, I want to, you know, shadow them on that trip, just so we can spend time together as well, right? So that's the type of choice that I think, you know, that you can have and what real estate can give you. And I think, you know, the other piece, and one thing that you both said that kind of hit home with me, one of the challenges that I have now for myself is I'm called myself a real estate investor for so long, but, you know, am I always going to be a real estate investor? Is that who I am? Like, you know, and, you know, how does that change over time? So, so I'm over 50. Okay. So I have to think of myself and say, hey, listen, you know, I am also a world traveler. I'm also a dad. I'm also, you know, all these other things. And so who do you want to be known as to who? Right. And I think that's something that people should keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. It's very clever.
Like philanthropist to my family. No, that's
debtor.
So yes, exactly. And that brings us to another question.
That gives it a negative connotation.
Sorry, oops. No, I'm just kidding.
If you want to live in another country, can you do it? Right. So let's say we have been traveling and we know what sometimes with the changes on political level or something will force you to choose another country. Sometimes it's your choice, right? But we are also, you know, trying to figure out the life for our children on that level that they can go to Europe and live there and work there legally. So they have citizenship of you know, European countries. They have citizenship of Canada now, right? Now we're looking at well, other options a little bit outside of the Western world, right? So it's all about how you design it, right? It's like, and then the options that you get or you might not have, right? It's like if let's say, God forbid, the war spills over to Poland, well, most people will not have a place to go if should they want to evacuate the country. Where would you go, right? But if you have citizenship, if you worked, you know, to prepare that path, at least you do have more options. You can stay and fight, or you can go.
I like that. Yeah, you know, I've just been thinking about how great it is for my kids to have like a residency here and still have citizenship in Canada. So
because they can still come back here, no problem.
Yeah, that's about my both my boys are dual citizen, Fijian and Canadian, right? Because I've got my passport and my citizenship as well, dual. And that's also a benefit of being a Canadian is to be able to have that dual.
Right.
You know, right. Exactly.
Not Swiss, all countries allow that, right?
That's so, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question. How can people get in touch with you?
Oh, usually Facebook is the best. If you can reach out there, or it's, you know, I think there's I'm under my name, Pavel Bożejewicz, and on Instagram we're Migrant Real Estate Investors.
Migrant Real Estate Investors.
Yeah, cool. We don't use Instagram that much, but we're going to.
Okay, right. And we're going to put all those links in the show notes so you can get in touch with
us. I'll send it on to you. Thank you very much. And thank you for the, Absolutely. It was lovely talking to you. Thank you so much for the day.
Yeah, it was really great. I enjoyed this a lot. Thank you for coming on.
That was really cool. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Yeah, thank you.
Quentin, how can people get in touch with you?
You can visit me at QmanREI on Instagram, or you can visit durhamrei.ca or quintindesouza.com to book a 15-minute call and talk real estate.
Awesome. People can reach me at rob@mrbreakthrough.ca. Thank you for listening, everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you next time.
Awesome.
Thank you.